Okay, well, welcome back to a new session. In this session, we're going to begin looking at a tool that is really foundational to a life of intentional leadership. You remember we ask the question often, are we living accidentally or are we living intentionally? And so today we're going to begin looking at this tool that will help us make progress personally. The important thing for us as leaders, for every leader, is that we first know ourselves in order to lead ourselves, because we can't lead other people until we can lead ourselves well. We can't lead well until we lead ourselves well. And in order to lead ourselves well, we need to know ourselves. And so you say, well, that's kind of weird. You know, I know myself. I've been with myself ever since I was born. Well, what we're talking about is knowing how our actions and behaviors appear to someone on the other side of us. Someone who sees us on a regular basis, someone who interacts with us on a regular basis. And so the simple personal plan has become a foundational tool that many of the other tools that we're going to learn as we work through these courses in the coming days, coming months, coming years, build upon. So let's get started here. I've been using a simple personal plan since 2004. And to be honest, for the first 7 years or so, it wasn't very good. I didn't make much progress in my life. I didn't make much progress in my work. And then in 2011, I threw it away and I started all over. I completely rewrote my personal plan to be more intentional and to help me increase my effectiveness. And here's what I want you to do. Before you kind of check out on us, maybe you've tried this exercise before, maybe you've have something similar, I want to share with you my experience. Again, I had a personal plan. It wasn't working very good. I completely rewrote it, and I had a very different experience after that. And so even if you have one, even if it's working, you're going to learn some things as we walk through this that will help take you deeper and richer and fuller experience with your personal planning process and the results that you get because of it. So it's your opportunity to think through who matters most and what matters most. And whether you already have one or you're starting fresh, we'll see things and we'll experience things and we're going to hear things that we hadn't necessarily considered before. And so this gives us a new opportunity to start fresh and work on these things. So as we start this session, I want to encourage you to approach it with an open hand, with an open mind, with an open heart, and allow your perspective to be shaped by what you hear and by what you're going to experience. Over the past several years, I've taken the time to note several ways that a personal plan has helped me. And the first thing that it's done for me is it's given me a solid foundation for my life and for my work. It's helped me to understand what I want and what's most important in my life and in my work, and then how my work should fit into that overall life. Many people do that backwards. Maybe you've done it backwards. You say, hey, I need a job because I have a certain lifestyle. And so we go get a job. And I have talked to people even over the last few weeks that have said to me, I absolutely hate my job, but I like the pay, or I like where I go, or whatever it is. They hate the work that they're doing, and they're only doing it in order to maintain the lifestyle or the standard of living that they've created for themselves and for their family. That's not living intentionally. That's living accidentally. That's allowing life and work to just happen by chance. And that's not the way that you want to live. See, my personal plan makes the majority of my decisions for me. The best time to make a decision is before you have to make it. If you're in the moment, it's hard to make the right decision because you're thinking, okay, what does this person think that I should do? Or what does this situation dictate that me? And so you're fretting over what to do. And it becomes a whole lot more challenging in the moment to make those decisions. So if there's any way that we can make some of those decisions before we have to, then we're much better prepared to deal with the challenging things in the moment. In fact, let me tell you a story. My daughter is one of the most mellow, compliant people in the world. And if you had grown up with me or with my wife, you're like, hey, how did your daughter get so mellow and so compliant and so respectful? I mean, Sarah and I, we were just all out. I mean, we were all on all the time. But Madison has always been that way. Several years ago, I came home from work one evening. I came in the door and I was talking to Sarah, and I realized Madison wasn't there, and we were talking about our day and how things had gone. And a few moments later, my phone rings and it's my neighbor's number. And so I say, "Hey babe, let me answer this phone." So I answer the phone and it's actually my daughter, and she's over at their house. They were getting ready to sit down to dinner, and Madison is calling, and she says they've offered to let me sit down to dinner. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, the neighbor kid is over here playing and it's time for us to sit down and eat dinner. We don't want to send her home and tell her she's not welcome at our dinner table, so we'll just grab another plate. And so I said to Madison, "Madison, why don't you come home? I want to hear about your day. We normally play this game at dinner where we ask each other the best part of their day, worst part of the day, and we talk about those things at dinner. And I said, I want to hear about your day. Why don't you just come home?" She's like, "But Dad, they said that I could stay and eat dinner." I'm like, "I know, babe, but I want to see you. I haven't seen you all day. I want to spend some time with you." All of a sudden, there's a click on my phone, and then it goes silent. And I say, "Babe, Madison?" And she doesn't respond. She hung up on me. And so I look across the counter to Sarah, and I say, "Sarah, Madison just hung up on me. She hung up the phone." A few moments later, our front door opens, and she comes through the door. We sit down at the table to dinner, and it's awkward. So we make it through dinner, and being the good parents that we are, we told her she could go back over to her friends and play for another hour or so before it's time to get ready for school. And so she's over there playing. An hour or so later, I don't want to be hung up on again, so I don't call over there. I walk across the street and I knock on the front door. And again, ironically, Madison answers the door. And when she answers the door, I say, "Babe, it's time to come home. We've got to get ready for school tomorrow." And she's like, "But Dad, we were just getting ready to go out and ride bikes again." And I said, "I know, babe. They live here. We live next door. I mean, we can come back tomorrow. We can ride bikes." She says, "Dad." She reaches back and grabs the edge of the door and slams the door right in my face. I mean, I'm standing there. I'm sure my jaw is laying on the sidewalk. I mean, just mortified at what in the world has happened with our daughter. I picked up a couple things there on the sidewalk and I walked back across the street. I knew if I stood there, it wasn't going to be good for her or for me when she came out the door. I walked in the front door, and again, I said to Sarah, "Sarah, she just slammed the door in my face. She hung up the phone on me earlier. We need to sit down and talk to her." So she comes in the door. She goes upstairs to get ready for bed. And before she got in bed, we said, "Hey, babe, why don't you come down and sit with us? We'd like to talk to you for a minute." We sat down on the couch and I asked her, I said, "Madison, tell me about what's going on. I mean, you hung up the phone on me. You slammed the door in my face. I just want to understand, what are you thinking? What are you experiencing? What are you feeling?" Tears just start coming down her face. I mean, this is Madison. This is the real Madison. She said, "I don't know. I don't know why I did that." My wife is a counselor, Madison's mom. And she starts asking Madison, "Well, you know, tell me, what were you thinking about this? And how are you feeling about that?" I mean, kind of psychoanalyzing the situation. And Madison was just struggling to answer. And I said, "Madison, tell me this. What could mom or I have done?" I always try to take personal responsibility. I want to make sure that I'm communicating clearly, that I'm being a good leader. I try to take personal responsibility. I don't always get it, but I try to always take personal responsibility. I said, "Madison, what could mom or I have done differently to help you?" Without hesitating, she said, "If you had just given me a time, if you had just told me what time to be home, what time to be home for dinner, or what time to be home for bed, I would have been there." And I know this is true, even though she was very young at the time. I know this is true because this is a girl who's been getting herself up with her own alarm clock since she was 4 years old. And here's what she was saying: "When I'm prepared properly, I will better respond in the moment." See, we can't anticipate all of the decisions that we have to make. I talked about my simple personal plan, making many of the decisions for me. We can't anticipate all of the decisions. And it's the decisions that we can't anticipate that we can prepare for. While we can't anticipate them, we can be prepared for them so that in the heat of the moment, when it's most challenging, we can still respond appropriately. Almost immediately when she said that, I thought of an experience that I'd had just 2 or 3 weeks earlier. I was sitting in a board meeting, sitting around the table where all of these colleagues, and something that we had talked about, another colleague and myself, something we had talked about 2 or 3 times in the privacy of my office or his office, he brought up to the whole group, to grandstand or to showboat. And when he did, I tried to ignore it. I tried to just let him do his thing, ignore it, just take it. But he didn't stop there. He looked straight at me, and he wouldn't let the meeting go on until I responded. And finally, I just said calmly, I said, I think that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You and I have talked about that privately two or three times, and so you know where I stand on the situation. And to bring it up in this meeting is stupid. As I glanced around the room, there were jaws on the table. And I realized that as the words were coming out of my mouth, that is not the best thing to say in the moment. And the reason why I reacted wrong in the moment was because I wasn't properly prepared for him to be an idiot. No, I wasn't properly prepared to respond in the moment. So number one, the personal plan gives me a solid foundation for my life and for my work. Number two, it helped me understand myself more fully. As I worked through Simple Personal Plan, and as you work through this again, you're going to think really deeply about who is most important and what is most important. It's going to help you get clarity on how your work should fit into your overall life and help you understand yourself more fully. Then number three, working through Simple Personal Plan has allowed me to live with focused purpose. The personal plan leads you to answer the question, what was I made to do that nobody else can do? And when we can clearly answer this question, life becomes more manageable and we're able to grow and live with purpose. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to think about the one thing that we're supposed to do with our life. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you are placed here in this community. And you are placed here in this place and for this time for a specific reason. And you are placed in your workplace for a specific reason. And so while you are going through life and while you are navigating your work, personal plan helps you to navigate those venues, to navigate those experiences, thinking about who's most important and what's most important and how you operate or function within it. They help me live and they'll help you live with focused purpose. And that'll keep you on track even in challenging situations. So when you've worked through personal plan and you're regularly reviewing it, it remains fresh and exciting to you. If you've done the work, it'll remain fresh and exciting for you. And my regular reviews encourage me and energize me when I go into them, when I'm down or when I'm frustrated. When I get away, they help me recharge and get refocused. So here's our action step for today. What's one way that you think that personal plan can help you? Write down one way that personal plan can help you. And then number two, this is important. We've done this over and over again as you've worked through these sessions. But number two, I want you to write it down, post it in the Guidestone University Leader Community. Okay? And we'll see you in the next session of Guidestone University.